My mom's here. My mom and my sister here. They had the baby over the night. So my wife, she's at home. She's like, I'm putting earplugs in. I'm going to sleep. Don't wake me up. No problem, babe. So good morning, every single one of you guys. You guys got a little bit extra sleep. I'm not jealous at all. You know, just realize it's a gift. Okay, the whole sleep thing.
Hey,
yeah.
By the way, everybody gets an extra hour next week.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, remember next week falling back on the clock. So we meet at the same time, only an hour later. It's weird. All right, for those of you who don't know, I don't do this often. Everyone's gone though, so they had to find someone. Okay, Scott's still here. But Ron's gone, and they asked me to do this. I felt very privileged, very happy to do this. Let's start off by let's pray for really quick and just give this to God right now. Father, thank you for today. It's the day that you made. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak. Thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and frees us. Father, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart of flesh that is soft. And just ready to be molded and crafted by you, Lord God. Father, we lift this time to you. We lift our day to you. Just say, speak to us, Lord. We're sitting at your feet. Everything that comes from you, let it stick. Everything that doesn't, let it fall away. We just thank you for right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I don't need that because I didn't prepare anything. I prepared something, just not on the screen. So here we go. If you guys get your little bulletins out and look to the where it says vision, it says Luke 14 through 20. When I was asked to do this, they were like, Andrew, do you have a scripture? Do you have a theme? And he went to God and said, what's your theme, Lord? And what's your scripture? And this is what popped out, and the word vision. Vision. It's such a big word. Let me read it. It's from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, stood up to read, and a scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And, amen, huh? God's word. That's a pretty amazing account. It would be as if I just read scripture right now and just decided, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna go sit down and take a seat right there. Everyone's eyes were still fastened on him. The story goes on. He turns around, he tells everyone, today, this has been done in your hearing. It's amazing. And he started, the people were amazed by him. They started talking, isn't that Joseph's son? Because this is his hometown. This is where he grew up. And they were like, isn't this Joseph's son? And you know, you hear that. We live in a small town. And we get that a lot. You know, wait, I know you. I know what you're up to. I know what you're about. I know what you do. What do you do talking about all this stuff? What's an amazing thing that happened is God gave this vision of the year of the Lord's favor to a prophet named Isaiah. And then Jesus, when he's in the synagogue, he stands up, he reads this, and he says, this is the vision. And it's now. This vision is happening now. There's good news to be proclaimed to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Just to give you guys a little bit of history on me, even more context, I had notes. I didn't follow them really earlier in the early service. It was kind of just went all in its own thing, but I'll try and stick to it this time. If you know me, I'm kind of new to this. I just started in January being the lead guy for the, started out as high school. I just started at that whole high school level. John came up to me and he said, Andrew, when are you going to take over high school? And I said, just kind of laughed. And then later that same day, Scott came up to me and said, Andrew, when are you going to pick up high school? I'm like, that's a good one. And it didn't hit me until I was sitting in an elders meeting. Wayne Herbst, one of our lead elders, looks at me and goes, so, Andrew, when are you going to take over high school? And I'm like, oh, this is serious. You guys are serious. And it started really small. Because I'm like, when I came into it, I was like, all right, well, I'm just doing Thursday night. That's all I'm doing. I'm just going to do something really quick. I'm going to do a little teaching. We'll have some praise music. And we'll play a couple games. And that's it. And I had to learn something. God really brought me through a time where he's like, Andrew, that's what you think it should look like. What is my vision for the youth? What is my vision for high school? And, he brought me to this scripture, and he's kind of bringing me through this whole thing where the programs are not the vision. They're just a way to get to it. I can't allow it to become, oh, this is what we're doing. Because the vision is this: proclaim good news to the poor. Proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Recovery of sight for the blind. Set the oppressed free. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today. It kind of blows my mind how God, in his grace and mercy, saw that I had this little tiny focused idea of what I thought his vision for the youth is. And slowly, he peeled away, and he opened my eyes, and he said, Andrew, that vision is not big enough. It's not big enough. I'm like, okay, Lord. Okay. Well, what do you want to do? So I told you, I want to, and we're just going to keep coming back to this, proclaim good news, proclaim freedom, give sight, set the oppressed free. And just as I allowed myself to do that, we restarted this new year. God brought this amazing team to be alongside and work alongside. They were up here. They're doing worship. Teresa and Mike, especially, they are my partners and my friends. And God brought them alongside because they can do things that I can't do. And I'm just realizing, wow, I am not. It's not about me or what I think the vision should be. It's about your vision, Lord God, and what you say. I love how Jesus grew up in a small town, a fishbowl town. Everyone knew him. If you live here, you know what that's like. If you don't live here, let me tell you, everyone knows your business all the time. Okay? And it's a good thing, I guess. It's a strange thing. But I love how God injects himself into it. Into this small little town, small little place, and he gives us this vision, a vision for us. I just lost my notes. Okay, let's see. That looks like a good place to go. There are youth on this island who are oppressed. There are youth on this island that are blind. There's youth on this island that are captive. Here's some awesome news. It's not just them. It's us. That awesome news. Because this vision for setting them all free doesn't end with the youth. It starts and ends with him. And it covers over all of us. All of us were captives and are set free. All of us were blind and we could see now. All of us were oppressed and he's given us liberation from that oppression. And it just, vision. It's more than just a night. It's more than just a function or a formula or something that we do. Vision. In his word, it says, for lack of vision, the people perish. I'm really getting off the this now. I just went to a youth conference. Just went to a youth conference down in San Diego. There was one speaker. The entire theme of the weekend was wonder. Experience the wonder of God. Stay in that wonder. And this one speaker went up and he says, are you a wanderer or are you a wonderer? And he goes on to talk about wanderers, like when the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, they wandered. They took their eyes off the vision of God to take them into the promised land. They wanderers are survivors. They go day in, day out. They do whatever they have to do just to make it to the next day. Wanderers, they more than survive. They see what's coming. We're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land. I'm not living just to eat today. We're going to the promised land. God's going to take us there. And it's this amazing thing where I got to ask myself, am I a wanderer today? Am I just living to survive? Or am I a wonderer of his vision to set us free? A lot of things have changed. We went from that one Thursday night where I had like two kids show up pretty consistently, and then not so much consistently. And it was just like, oh, Lord, what are you doing? And then the vision was, do this. So I started getting together with the kids one-on-one. Teresa and Mike, they started getting together with the kids one-on-one. We started listening to them. Hear where they're at. Stop trying to fix them. Just let them talk and let them hear and then let God move. And amazing thing happened. We started up again this year. Started on Tuesday nights. We changed the way we did the entire format. God did this wonderful lady who said, I want to cook for these kids because that's my passion. She shows up every week. She cooks. Kids come in and grub on the food. Pretty awesome. Then we have our time of games, and we have our a time of message. And God just said, all right, so after the message, don't close down. Stay open for them. They can do their thing. Let them unwind. We started doing this, and something amazing happened. They all stayed. They all stayed. It was amazing. We're done at 8:30. They're all staying till 10. It's a school night, so we got to send them out by 10. But we kind of split things up. We did that downstairs in the teen center where all you guys ate. If you hadn't eaten, go down, come next week, eat something with us. We'll see where to. So we did that whole thing. The end of the night came after the message. Said, all right, well, down here, we're going to play some games. We're going to have some hangout time. Upstairs, you could have a worship time, time of worship. And that could look however. And what started happening was God started moving in both places. Kids were staying downstairs playing games. Foursquare is, we call it Ultimate Foursquare because it gets pretty intense down there. We could start a league. It's pretty awesome. You guys come down, check it out sometime. They'll play for like hours too. Set up a little Foursquare thing, but also I make myself available just to talk. Students have come up to me and said, hey, I need to talk to you. Said, all right, no problem. Let's set this time aside. Let's talk. And then upstairs, it was amazing because at the end of the night, you know, I'm downstairs. I'm watching the kids play, release some steam. You know, some are coming, confiding, stuff like that. And then at the end of the night, I get together with Teresa or Chris. Chris is the other guy. Chris Ferguson, good guy. Owes me money, but that's a different thing. He doesn't really owe me money. Anyway, Chris and Teresa would come up to me afterwards, and they're like, something amazing happened. They came, and they worshiped God, and God led our worship, and people are being broken. People are going to him in prayer, and they're ministering to each other, and they're allowing God to minister to them, and you know, it just reminds me of my vision, your vision, it's tiny. Let's get out of that. Let's step out of that and let's look at God's vision. And then let's just give him what we have. You know, we stop there sometimes because we're like, all right, Lord, this is all I have. Let me give it to you. This is all my abilities, all my strength, all my skills. These are all my faults. I give it to you, Lord. Do what you can. And we go there, and it's a beautiful thing. But we forget something. I want to take you guys to another verse. It's in the book of Ephesians. This is a great book, by the way. You guys should pick this up. I don't get any credit, and no one pays me if you buy a Bible, but go buy a Bible and read it. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. Let's read that. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his strength, of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So we bring it to God's vision, we bring it to God's altar, and then we forget sometimes, and this happens at that point, but it also happens before that point. The moment we believe, the power that God exercised to bring Jesus from death to life is in that. It's in us, for us, today. And that blows my mind, because it's no longer about me, my vision, what I want, how I think it should look, but it's about God's vision and the power he used to raise his son from the dead, working itself out in my life, in your life, in the youth's lives, and something incredible happens. Glory to him. Glory to God. You know, people are set free. People receive sight. The oppressed are liberated. Oh, I can tell you. Youth are oppressed. You know, they're oppressed by, you know, what they see, what they hear. They oppress themselves. You know, they're captive to a whole lot of things, just like us. Because we're captive to a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of voices, a whole bunch of conflicting emotions and you know, they have the same issues with other people. They have broken relationships. They have sin in their lives, just like us. And we forget that. And people were free. We're free. I want to go on a little bit further in Ephesians. It's in chapter 2. It's verse 8 through 20. I'll give you guys 2 seconds to get there. 1, 2. Okay. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand so we would walk in them. Vision. Vision. Good news to the poor. Freedom for captives. The oppressed set free. Recover some from the blind. Vision. That's a great part. Another great part, his power works in it. So it's not about my limitations. It's not about your limitations. Take all that limitations. That's fine. Bring it to God. A lot of people, when you start doing that too, when you start living in his vision, a lot of people, if you read a little bit later in that verse in Luke, a lot of people, they got upset. They said, who is this guy? What is he doing? And they try and get him and like throw him off a cliff. And that might happen. Not to us. Like literally, it might happen. I don't know. But like, we get this vision from God. We get this passion. We feel God's power and spirit move us, and we start moving in that. And then there's some people that actually start speaking death into what we're doing. So how do we respond to that? Great, let them speak death, because we have a God who is an expert in bringing dead things to life. Isn't that awesome? No amount of death spoken over his vision is ever going to win. Amen, huh? I mean, that's just like, none of it relies on whether I fail or not. None of it relies on whether you fail it or not. You know, good and faithful service. Not good and successful. Good and faithful service. It's amazing what happens when we stop being a wanderer and start being a wanderer. At his power, at his grace, at his strength. You know, all these things. Oh, I have a note. still gonna go, don't worry. A long time. All these things are moving and changing within the youth. It doesn't end with the youth. It's for us. If you're a captain to anything, to sin, I don't know, sometimes we get into this rut where we do our daily lives, we go to work, we're dealing with work. We go home, we deal with home. We have our friends and they have their issues. And I just day in and day out, and there's this quiet, there's quiet desperation. If you're captive to that, good news. Good news. He sent his son to proclaim freedom for us today. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes our emotions are perceived as reality when in fact our emotions are not reality. I have this sin. I'm always going to struggle with it. I'm always going to be in this place. I'm never going to have victory of it. I feel like I'm a terrible person. Your emotion doesn't override God's power and grace and strength and vision. So we ask God, God, take my emotions, take my thoughts, renew my mind. Give me your vision, give me your thoughts, give me your strength. Let me get out of the way. Let me be about my Father's business. Let me do what I see you doing. Vision. That's crazy. And we have a God that would actually give us these insanely ludicrous things to hold on to. Vision to see and be a part of. It blows my mind. I want to talk to the youth for a second. He thought of and planned out your days. In the scripture it says he wrote all your days down. And I actually like to stop for a second, actually all of us, We should think about that. God handwrote every single day. That just kind of blows my mind. And he has things prepared for us today. Today, not tomorrow, not after you've had all this training, not after everything's all perfect, but today. He uses the mess today. He uses us today, not, and we just, right now. How often do we just go, okay, after this, or after this, or after I'm done dealing with this sin, I'm free from it, I need to repent of it, I need to turn from it. We have this mentality where we're free after we repent or turn. But, you know, we're free to repent. It's not, the freedom doesn't come afterwards. We're free to do it now and just connect back to God's vision. We're free to be free. And it's just this amazing thing that God has done for us so that we can do the work that he's prepared for us and sit at this weird tension where we sit at God's feet, we listen to his voice, we abide in him, and he loves us enough, and he moves us, and he gives us the thing where we have work to do that pleases him, that he's made to be a part of who we are. And it's an amazing thing. Why do I keep looking at this when I totally abandoned it? Okay. That was weird. I don't do this often. Okay, so I might not do this often again. Depending on how today goes. All right. I was going to talk, let you guys know what's happening, just because I want you guys to hear. You heard God's vision. I want you guys to hear how he's working that vision out in the youth. And I want to challenge you guys to find out where you fit in, not necessarily there, but in God's vision for the island. Like I said, God brought up a tremendous group of people to work alongside me with the youth. We have our Tuesday nights, which was what I described to you guys. There was a thing. Thursday nights, Singing Waters, one church, many locations. The kids go over there. There's a potluck. We feed the kids. It's great. That's how we get them to show up to things. That's how they get me to show up to something. Promise food. I went to Haiti for the food. I stayed for the people and what God was doing, but he got me there. Thursday nights, over at Singing Waters, there's a time where food, there's a time of worship, there's a time of this table participation, talking, walking it out together. Sunday morning, we're going to start something new called The Deep. About a year ago, I went through this, it's called Systematic Theology. It hurt my head. It was terrible. But it was good at the same time. It gave me a really good, firm foundation and challenged me in a lot of what I thought when it came to knowing the Bible, knowing God, knowing his word and stuff. We're going to do a version of that for the kids. The cool thing is, God was like, and this is not in competition. This is in compliment. God's vision, he brings a whole bunch of different, seemingly different people, ideas, ways of doing things, and he makes them complement each other. This is the body of Christ working itself out. Sunday is going to be kind of different from Tuesday, or really different from Tuesdays, and Tuesdays is different from Thursdays, and those are different from the one-on-ones we have with the kids. I do a lot of one-on-ones. Teresa and Mike and Chris do a lot of one-on-ones. We sit, we talk to the kids, try our best not to just fix them, just listening to them. Don't want to shake them. I promise I will not shake any of you guys here today. I want to, like I'm sure people want to shake me sometimes, but what's happening is we're doing this together. We're following Jesus together. We're doing life together. We're allowing his vision in our lives, individually and together, collectively. That's crazy. That's awesome. So we got a lot of things. What I want to ask is where Where has God given you vision? Or are you in a place where without vision the people perish? Are you perishing because you don't have vision? Are you perishing because you don't have a hope? Good news. We have a vision. We have a hope. And it's for today. It doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter your abilities, your failings. We have a vision that's bigger than that, that God allows us to take part of. You guys could start over in the youth. I mean, I'm over here. If you have a hard time finding out how you're a part of this vision, I would want to encourage you to try something. Go to Haiti. Come down on a Tuesday night, work with us, and cook something, or, you know, whatever. Throw money at some of the youth workers so they can take the kids to lunch. Take a kid to lunch. Take your own kid to lunch. Stop in the middle of the day just to just connect with something. Do this life together. We get so caught up in the grind. We forget we're doing this together. We have a life and a family and a mission together. You're free. You're free today to do this. You're free today to be a part of this vision. You're free today to plug in. Not alone. If you need prayer, people are here for prayer. You know, you're saying, I'm not free. You know, your emotions, everything telling you you're not free. Today you're free. And if you need help with that, you know, we got a prayer team here. We'll walk this out with you. Because this vision is not just for the youth, it's for us. And it's bigger than all of us. We kind of really went far off where I had. Some of my youth are here, some aren't. I promised I would read out of the King James Version because it has the word ass in it. And they were like, oh, awesome. But not a bad context. Read the old King James Version of something. It says, do not covet thy neighbors. Yeah. So it's a weird verse. Anyway, I have my youth director, okay? I had to bring something in, and we got serious. Bringing something fun. And on that note, God's vision is bigger than us, and he wants us to be a part of it. And he gives us the power to be a part. So let's do it. Let's do it today. There's no reason to not do it today. Put it all on the altar. Let's live free. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for fun. Thank you for your vision that frees us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. Thank you for every heart and eye and ear here. Lord, everything that's from you, please just let it stay. Everything that's not from you, just let it wash away, Lord. Father, we submit ourselves to whatever it is you have. We want to get out of the way, but we want to be a part of what you're doing too. We want to be about our Father's business. So help us to do that. Father, thank you. Today is the day that you made. Help us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.